business according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We've been Muhammad Jawad hosting this program and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about business related Islamic laws with Sheikh Javid. Well, Sheikh Javid, you know, in today's world, nobody will be able to work without internet, right?
Yes.
And depending on what IP or internet provider you subscribe to, you need some kind of fast internet. And yes, for these, you have to subscribe to the fast internet companies or ADSLs. Well, or IPs. Well, and the subscription is sometimes expensive. Because of this, people create some kind of interpersonal or, let's say, private networks, right?
Yes.
For themselves. For example, at home or in a kind of private company, which is like a small business. But normally these big companies of internet don't agree to such conditions so yes, that you could, you know, branch it out to different people, you know, and the question is, well, is it permissible, let's say, to generate or to create such interpersonal networks for yourself, although the big company that you subscribe to does not agree to your doing so?
It is problematic to act in contravention with the written conditions between the two parties. Now,
yes,
if the company, the provider, the internet provider, did not or does not agree,
mm-hmm.
whether implicitly or explicitly, with the user, to let his internet be used by other people in an interpersonal network, then it is not permissible for that personal, for that let's say client, to make or to create a private network and allow more users to use the connection. So he himself alone has the right to use it, and no one else can do it, no one else can use it. Okay, if the internet provider does not disagree, and actually it gives its consent to the internet provider to let other people also use it, because of maybe there could be some advantages, or maybe some it's not going to create a problem for the internet provider. So in that case, if they agree, there would be no objection. Otherwise, it's not permissible.
I see. Another question, Sheikh Javid, is that is it permissible to use narcotic drugs such as heroin, opium, crack, cocaine, and the like? Whether there are, the new types or the traditional ones.
You're right.
Because we also have the industrialized type, which is being synthetic, basically, yes. Right? Not so much traditional or as traditional as opium or heroin, for example. And what's the Islamic law or Islamic Sharia concerning the smugglers of these types of narcotics?
Well, since we are talking about halal or haram gains, okay, I would like to just say that according to all religious authorities, including His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, may he live long, it is not permissible under any circumstances to sell or to buy or to purchase and distribute drugs which are so destructive, so dangerous, like heroin and shisha, or let's say addictive types of drugs which create lasting destructive problems or complications as a result of using those drugs, So I see no religious authorities. I do not know of any religious authorities who may allow the use or the sale of such drugs. All of the religious authorities are agreed on the fact that the sale and purchase and also the distribution of such drugs is absolutely forbidden. Under no circumstance can one sell any of these things or any of those things which you mentioned.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the Library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Our topic is still business-related Islamic laws. Well, Sheikh Javid, sometimes or oftentimes I have to correct myself, in today's world, people need other people's assistance for their work.
Sure.
Right?
Yes.
As a kind of proxy. For example, attorneys and barristers, solicitors, lawyers, all of these people use their background knowledge in law, and they come to rescue when you have, for example, a legal action, for example, in a court of law, or if you have a problem with your neighbor or your friend or your company, for example, is it permissible, basically, in Islam, according to the Sharia laws, to use their assistance? And what about their money?
That's a good question. Well, it is permissible to work as a lawyer or as an attorney, provided that it does not lead to the infringement or the violation of what is right and what is wrong, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If, let's say, if an attorney general, finds a client and then he tries to do whatever he can, even by, let's say, deceiving, by making a false claim, tries to defend him while his client is a criminal by nature, or maybe he is a criminal, he has killed someone and he is responsible for the blood of the person, the victim.
Yes.
So if such a thing is there, of course, the money he receives is not halal.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot receive any money because he is making false claims. He's lying and the court, and in order to just protect his client, that's not what he should do. So, and generally we see, unfortunately, that attorneys, they, in order to receive their wages from the client, they usually resort to false claims,
mm-hmm.
in order to show what is right as wrong,
mm-hmm.
and what is wrong as right. So
yes,
that's not permissible.
I see.
If he tells the truth, if he sticks to the moral standards and to the Sharia law, there's no objection to him. Otherwise, it is a matter of objection.
Mm-hmm. Sheikh Sawi, let me squeeze in a very short question here till the end. We don't have much time.
Okay.
What's Islamic law about the wages or any money gained or earned illicitly in exchange, for example, for singing, all right? Fornication, dancing, God forbid, any similar prohibitions, all right?
Yes.
Well, what should this person do regarding this money, this wage, or any illicit gain?
Yes. We know that, singing, okay, fornication, and receiving money for prostitution is absolutely forbidden. And the person who receives that money cannot take possession of that money. He or she cannot own it. So the way the wages received or obtained through forbidden means, generally speaking, should be returned to the owner, to the person who originally owned the money. And
if they cannot reach that person?
Okay, if the money cannot be returned to him because he's not available or he is not accessible, then the money should be given to the poor on his behalf if he is Muslim, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, if he's not Muslim, it cannot be given to the poor on his behalf. It can be given to the poor. It should be given to the poor, okay? But you cannot make niyyah that, okay, this is money going to be used.
So what should they go about the money?
So the money should
If that person, the owner, the original owner, is not a Muslim.
Is not a Muslim, okay, the money should be given to the poor. To the poor.
Any
okay.
poor.
Any poor persons, okay? But they should be Muslim, okay? Mm-hmm. Not to someone who is poor, but he's non-Muslim. Maybe he's going to get the money or receive the money and use it again for haram
right.
purposes. So yes, it should be sure. returned to the poor. And that's the answer. Of course, the religious authorities have said that, okay, you give it to the poor, but as raddi mazalim, okay? Raddi yes. mazalim, it is a kind of, money owed, you owe, and you give it to the poor people.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, and thank you for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير ما News, scientific news, artistic news, with the light.
Whilst not being as painful as a broken limb, animals like humans suffer from chronic and acute pain from gum infections, broken teeth, and bacterial spread through the circulation. A 16-year-old elephant in Pakistan is one such case. Madhubala, suffering for years from a dental infection caused by a broken tusk, has finally got relief thanks to vets, dentists. Named after a legendary Indian actress, Madhubala's eyes were taped shut, her legs tied to support her during sedation and subsequent treatment at a Karachi zoo. The vets had to use drills and other heavy surgical tools to extract the infected tusk. She is one of four African elephants being treated in Karachi by an eight-member team from Global Animal Welfare Group, Four Paws. A Pakistani court last year asked Four Paws to assess the health of the animals after local animal rights activists raised concerns about their well-being. The forest management plays a key role in mitigating climate change. Like many world countries, China has accelerated environmental and social structural changes in urban spaces to deal with this pertinent issue. The Dong Forest Park in Jinzhou, Liaoning province is one such project that has provided city dwellers enough space to breathe. It comes into being from what local people usually called rotten woods. The park on the northern bank of Xiaoling River covers an area of nearly 120 hectares. Nobody would come there before, as the place was full of flies and mosquitoes. But now, with the environment improved and water cleaned in the river, the place has turned into a wonderland, attracting locals and even foreign tourists.
Now the sky is blue, the water clean, and the air fresh, with green greeting you wherever you go. The elderly play Tai Chi or do bodybuilding exercises here. Young people play football, basketball, and table tennis.
Over the past 20 years, a large number of cities in China have undergone a brief but rapid urban expansion. Most of these cities are now facing social problems, such as an aging population and a high prevalence of chronic diseases. A comprehensive environmental improvement program in Jinzhou was initiated in 2014 in order to create space for those who want to take a break from their everyday works. Lightning strikes are very powerful and misunderstood force of nature that we all often see being used in films. A spectacular lightning strike has illuminated the sky over the Scottish town of Dundee. A video from an eyewitness that captured the hypnotic scene has been shared on several social media platforms. The lightning in the clip can be seen sending several bolts in opposite directions. Below, a church spire is silhouetted against the lightning flashes. But lightning is not always spectacular, as sometimes it causes fire to tower and high rises. Last month, a wind turbine caught fire after being struck by a lightning bolt in North Texas, United States. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with menu expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice, and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals.
Have you ever heard of fighting nature with nature? Well, that's what the San Francisco Metro system in the U.S. did to stop pigeons from overrunning the place. The station has hired a hawk as the new guard to patrol the area. Pac-Man is a five-year-old Harris's hawk who has taken up the perch at the station. In terms of experience, he is pretty new, as he finished training only 9 months ago. The station recently renovated its building, installing netting and spikes to prevent pigeons from nesting. But these birds still seem to find their way to hang around. So with the Falconer Force, Ricky Ortiz and his hawk were hired this summer to keep the pigeons at bay.
So a typical day is we get here, we make our round, we start off down in the bottom inside the facility, making sure there's no pigeons hanging out in there. And then we work our way up here to the platforms and just check the ledges and the roof and make sure that they're not trying to sneak in on us and keep them out. And he does a pretty good job of that.
The team patrols 3 days a week, and Pac-Man is allowed to swoop in and scare any pigeons sitting around. The Falconer says less than half of the pigeons they left after the first week of Pac-Man flying and establishing the territory. Commuters and station managers say they also noticed the difference. The Falconer says he usually keeps his feathery friend happy on the job by giving him snacks throughout the day. This also encourages the hawk not to feast on the pigeons and local rodents.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Technology helps transform the global food production system and mitigates its impact on the environment. China's autonomous region of Tibet is turning barren land into fertile one using greenhouse technology. Once removed, Beinan County is now the largest off-season vegetable supplier in Tibet. The region has taken advantage of its highland conditions to develop a state-of-the-art agricultural structure. Beinong has now more than 2,200 modern vegetable greenhouses and nearly 12,000 hectares of planting area, some built at unimaginable altitude. But one cannot deny the role of railways and highway transport for making this county a hub for organic vegetables. The income of locals has also been significantly improved, and they are now living a happy and prosperous life. If you're a private collector of wild animals, there is good news for you. A Pakistani zoo is auctioning off a dozen lions due to a lack of money to feed them and a space to house them. Lahore Safari Zoo currently has so many big cats that they have to take turns accessing paddocks. Officials say auctioning them will free up space and also reduce expenses. Zoo is currently housing 29 lions. The lions auctioned this week will be between 2 to 5 years of age. Each big cat is estimated to fetch around 150,000 Pakistan rupees. That's not too much, as some zookeepers claim. Even conservationists have expressed anger over auctioning lions to private collectors instead of transferring them to other zoos. Happy news for zoo goers in Nicaragua. Two adorable baby tapirs are born at a country's national zoo south of Managua, adding attractions to the visitors. Two endangered tapirs, a male and a female, were born hours apart at the weekend. In a video shared by the zoo, one of the newborns is seen suckling and walking near her mother. The director of the zoo says the babies are yet to be named but are in perfect health. Tapirs inhabit jungle and forest regions of South and Central America, with one species inhabiting Southeast Asia. They look something like pigs with trunks, but they are actually related to horses and rhinos. Nicaragua launched a project that seeks to conserve this animal in danger of extinction due to hunting and the destruction of natural habitat. Now we'll take you to mine-riddled French island, Chazoms, which is emerging from the ruins and gradually turning into workers' paradise. Chazoms, close to the port city of Saint-Malo, has an amazing landscape but remains uninhabited as it saw a devastating bombardment by the Allies during the World War II. The Nazi-occupied island was victim of the most bombings per square meter. Known as Martyred and Forbidden Island, it was opened only in 2018 after extensive demining efforts allowed the opening of a marked path. Now, every year, thousands of day trippers make the short boat journey, marveling at the spectacular maritime views and flourishing wildlife there. The safe area still makes up just 3% of the island, but it lets visitors wander between rusty cannons and bunkers. Some workers say they hope the trail will be lengthened to allow a complete tour of the island.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism. The Jamtal Glacier in Austria has been losing around 1 meter of its surface annually. Scientists say the ice is a precious archive that is simply melting away and are surveying the area. Austrian mountain researchers say the glaciers contain an invaluable trove of ancient frozen leaves and twigs and other scientific treasures that can be lost forever. They say the time capsules, including the remote Jamtal Valley, are falling victim to climate change. In the 1990s, tourists found that 5,300-year-old mummy of Iceman near the same area. According to the international data, global warming has raised temperatures in Europe's highest mountains by nearly 2 degrees Celsius in the past 120 years.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبيب لها ولا راغي
The merits and virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ibn As-Sakr records from his chain of narrators that birds were given as gifts to the Messenger of Allah. So he distributed them and left a bird. Then he said, O Allah, bring to me the most beloved to you of your creation to eat with me from this bird. So Ali ibn Abi Talib came and entered and ate with him from that bird. So we can come to this conclusion from this narration, which is narrated from a Sunni Imam, that the most beloved of Allah's creation is Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the person who ate with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now, the chain of narrators of this narration has been analyzed, and it's been confirmed that all of them are thiqa, meaning they're trustworthy, and that the narration is sahih. And of course, this is not the only narration which has been narrated from Ibn As-Sakr. Others have also narrated a similar narration, which is called the narration of Ta'ir, the bird, which is very similar to this one, which indicates that Imam Ali is the most beloved of Allah's creation.
Sakhilal Qalandar Mast Mast Sakhilal Qalandar Mast جلال قلندر مست مست دم مست قلندر مست مست دم مست
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program's to my brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. So, dear friends, we live in a world which is truly strange and unfortunate many a times. We truly await the governance and the just government and authority of the 12th divinely appointed Imam. For it is he who will bring about the ultimate justice in a world which is filled with oppression and tyranny. Of course, this is all we see across the world in many places. One such instance is this idea of sanctions. Now, for some reason, countries believe that sanctions are only limited to a government, when in reality, sanctions, especially case in point, those that we see, for example, against the Islamic Republic of Iran, are sanctions that definitely harm the people more than they harm the government. Now, of course, sanctions that are related to government officials, where, for example, they can't fly in and out of a country, for example, those really are inconsequential sanctions. But sanctions that we find that countries have unfortunately levied upon the Islamic Republic of Iran are sanctions that affect the common and ordinary person in this country. Now, when we're talking about sanctions, of course, there's an interesting story from the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We find, of course, that we've talked about his courage and his bravery, his steadfastness, his determination. But here, along with all of these, I think we can add honor and nobility and chivalry and this very being gallant in the battlefield and being honorable and noble and chivalrous in the battlefield. And now, you must be thinking, how does this connect to sanctions? Well, we find that during the Khilafah and the Caliphate of Imam Ali alayhi salam, one of the battles that occurred was the Battle of Siffin. And so here Muawiyah, who was trying to proclaim himself to be the Caliph of the Muslims and who also claimed to be an avenger of the blood of the third Caliph Uthman, and of course who had been placed in Syria, in Damascus, in Sham of that time as the governor, he did not want to step down when Imam Ali was trying to have him step aside from this governorship. So this war took place. And I'm sure that some of you are familiar with the historical aspects of this. But in the Battle of Siffin, we find that Muawiyah had reached the battle area first, and he had access to water wells, and he stopped the access of Imam Ali's army to these water wells. In essence, these were sanctions on water. And so then what we find is that when Imam Ali alayhi salam went and his army fought against the army of Muawiyah, and they took the water wells into their own hands, some of the commanders of Imam Ali said, well, now is the best time to sanction the enemy and literally have them die of thirst. And here is where the honor and the nobility and the chivalry and the absolute gallantry of Imam Ali alayhi salam on the battlefield is shown. And he says, no, if we stop water from going to them, then what is the difference between us, the forces of truth and good and justice, and them, the forces of evil and falsehood? And so in the modern day, we see that the people of truth and justice, they won't sanction a group of people or do what is called collective punishment. Matter of fact, the believers should be merciful with the believers at all times. And these kind of ridiculous sanctions that are put in place that harm the people are something that are contrary to humanity, and they are contrary to what it means to be a human being, We learn all of these things from the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And so yet another thought-provoking and comprehensive lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib this means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
Now we invite you to listen to Brother Hassanain Rajabali.
You and I, brothers and sisters, should be Muslims of action. We should be willing to give our wealth for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to hoard it. We should be willing to give our tongue for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we're not ready for it, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that movement by which to give our lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because nothing else is valuable. I'm going to read very briefly, the will of Imam Ali alayhi salam to his son, Imam Hassan alayhi salam. This will he wrote right after the Battle of Siffin. When he comes back, I can just see this image of a man who has ruled as a Khalifa for 4 years and 9 months. And in those 4 years of treachery, that the enemy attacked him so much, he spent every second doing good for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every second doing good for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a second did this man pass by which he gave his did not give his soul fi sabilillah. That's why Allah says, follow him. Why was Muawiyah such an enemy of his? Why did Muawiyah prepare this assassination of Imam Ali? People say Imam Ali alayhi salam was hit by a Khariji by the name of Ibn Muljim. Ibn Muljim, the Khawarij, were created by Muawiyah. The institution of the Khawarij was created by Muawiyah. Muawiyah created this as a smokescreen to keep Imam Ali busy so that his authority should remain. But Imam Ali worked hard to remove him. But the people didn't help him. Imam Ali mentions in Siffin, he said, I will trade 10 of my soldiers for one of Muawiyah's soldiers. For their dedication to serve Muawiyah, but mine are half-hearted. What a message! When Imam speaks like that, I think he's talking about me. When Imam says, I will trade 10 of mine, I think one of those 10 is me. And I'm ashamed. When Imam says that I came in this world to serve you, I am a being that Allah has chosen, not ordinary. The Imam, the name of Ali ibn Abi Talib is Sha'air Allah, is Dhikr, Dhikrullah. People who say this shafa'ah and tawassul, they haven't understood the message. To mention the name of Imam Ali is dhikr of Allah, because when you look at him, he does nothing but takes you to Allah. He never takes you to himself. He never says, worship me. He never says, how great I am. He never does any of that. He keeps taking us to the Prophet and Allah. Keeps taking us to the Prophet and Allah. So why should he not be remembered? Why should we not remember him? Why should we not mention him? Why should we not live like him?
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, welcome to Mafatihul Hayat, Keys of Life. I am your host, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi. One of the keys of life is seeking medication and knowing diseases. There are ways where we can cure ourselves or at least prevent disease in the first place. The Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam, they have not left any stone unturned in this regard. There are simple measures and simple things that me and you can do in order to prevent diseases. And most of these things are available in our disposal. For example, we have a hadith from Al-Imam Musa Al-Kadhim alayhi as-salam. He says, "Inna al-ijasa at-tariy yutfi'u al-harara." He says, the fresh and juicy pears, they in fact turn the heat of the body down. Which means, if a person has a fever and his temperature is high, we should give him what? Pears. Is a fruit, delicious, nice, and it cures a person from fever, or at least it helps, reduces the heat of the body. Imam Rida alayhi salam, our 8th Imam, he says, من أراد ردع الزكام مدة أيام الشتاء فليأكل كل يوم ثلاث لقم من الشهد. Whoever wants to avoid cold and fever during the season of winter, then let him eat 3 spoons of shahad. And a shahad, it's a type of honey. 3 spoons a day, tiny spoons, should help you and should keep cold and fever away from you for the entire season of winter. Easy to do, and they are available. Honey is available, and so is pears also available. We can do that. Also, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he gives a remedy to a person who feels a bit of weakness in his body. And he says, if you want to regain and gain strength, this is what you do. He said, إِذَا ضَعَفَ الْمُسْلِمُ, when the Muslim becomes weak, فَلْيَأْكُلَ اللَّحْمَ بِاللَّبَنِ, let him eat meat cooked in milk. For Allah has put the strength in these two things, meat and milk. And obviously the Ahl Bayt alayhi wasalam, they talking about fresh milk, not milk that made by machines with added preservatives and with added chemicals, just fresh cow milk. So if that is cooked with meat, which is actually a practice they used to do back in the day, they say it gives you a lot of strength. And even now, a lot of doctors, they suggest this food if a person is feeling weakness due to certain diseases. Someone needs to keep that in mind. Also, the Ahl Bayt alayhi wasalam, they say, Al-Hinna, the plant,
henna, as we call it, yuthibu bisahak wa yuzidu fi ma'il wajh. It removes bad smell, and also it gives the face a bit of radiance. Wa yutayibu an-naka, and makes your taste much better. Wa yuhassinu al-walad, and it makes, if a person has a child, it makes the child a better, good-looking child. So just the plant of henna itself, if it's consumed, it also gives all these benefits. Let us take a short break, and then we come back right after.
Ayatollah Javadi Amoli, the author of the book Mafatih al-Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatih al-Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree. Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam, who has stressed out the reward for praying, has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Mafatih al-Hayat, Keys of Life. One concept when it comes to seeking medication, and it is an extremely important concept that we need to keep in mind, and that is not to consume any medication that is considered to be haram. We have many a hadith from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam that they tell us we should not consume medicine if it's haram, even if it is, you know, our sickness depends on it. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam says, "Inna Allah ta'ala anzala da'a wad dawa." Allah has brought down sickness, disease, and the cure with it. "Wa ja'ala likulli da'in dawa," and He made for every disease a sickness. "Fatadawa," therefore seek that particular medication for that particular disease. "Wala tadadawa bil haram," do not treat yourselves with that which is haram. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever disease you have, He has revealed and sent down a medication for it that is halal, because Allah would not ask me and you to take and consume medication that is haram. So you might say, well, there's only haram available. We say don't take it because it's not meant to be for it. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "Laysa fi haramin shifa." In anything that is haram, you will not find cure in. And also, when a person asks the Imam Sadiq alayhi salam if he can drink alcohol as a means of medication, the Imam says, "An nabidu," where they put the nabid, or as you say, wine, into the food or drink, he says, "La laysa yanbaghi li ahadin an yastashfi bil haram." No one should use alcohol, or at least beer or what have you, or wine, as a form of medication. Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam again also says to one of his companions, when he asked them if they can add a mixture of wine to a particular medicine and they make it into a sort of medicine, the Imam says to him, "La wallah, ma ahabbu an anzur ilayh." Such medicine I would not look at. I do not want to look at it. "فَكَيْفَ أَتَدَوَى بِهِ." Then how do you expect me to consume it? If I don't want to see it, how do you expect me to consume it? Then the Imam says, إِنَّهُ بِمَنْزِلَةِ شَحْمِ الْخَنْزِيرِ. It is like, you know, the skin or the fat of the pig. أَوْ لَحْمُ الْخَنْزِيرِ, or the meat of the pig. وَإِنَّ أُنَاسًا لَيْتَدَاوُونَ بِهِ. And there are people, actually, he says, who use this sort of medication. However, we as Muslims, and especially as Shia, we do not use any form of medication that is haram. Now here, we have many chemical medication that some of them actually contain haram elements or ingredients. We have to be very wary of that, especially with capsules. Most of the capsules are made from pig skin and pig products. So we have to make sure that these capsules that we are taking actually do not contain pig parts. And some of the drinks that the liquids that we drink, some of them, they actually have a portion of alcohol. So we have to make sure that it does not contain anything. So the Ahlul Bayt are very clear when it comes to anything that is haram. You think of it, wherever haram there is. If it someone comes to you and tells you, well, you can use that as a medication, it helps, it worked before, you say to them, no thanks, I am not interested. If it's haram, you can't use it as a mean to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure you. The cure is from Allah, not from the medication. So if it's haram, guaranteed it's not going to work. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast, to the field of dreams, hear the children's screams.
There was the Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
Football, the undeniable reality of the modern world. All across the globe, not even a second passes without a professional football match being held. At all times, there's a green field somewhere in the world where people have gathered around it to watch players with a football. No one in the world can calculate just how many professional football matches are being held every day. No one in the world can calculate how many million people are playing professional football every day. No one in the world can calculate how many billions of people are watching football every day or following football. Just imagine the world without football for a second. What will remain from it? Football is the undeniable reality of the modern world. Football is the soul of our world. Football is the king of the modern world. It's true that big clubs still earn less than major companies and trademarks. For example, PSA is the company that owns Peugeot and Citroën. It earned over 2.1 billion euros in 2016, while Paris Saint-Germain, the most famous French club, earned only 460 million euros in the same year.